Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Welcome to the Least of These podcasts. We reach out to those the world has forgotten. If you'd like to know more about us and how you can donate to help us fulfill our mission, go to hisloveministries.net. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer again. Heavenly Father, we just come before you again thanking you that there is nothing that compares to you, Lord. That you're above everything, that you're greater than everything, that nothing compares to you, Lord. We have nothing. That America's nothing without you, Lord. That we need to turn to you and ask you to heal our land and forgive us of our sins. Lord, I ask that as I speak today, Lord, that you would anoint this message with your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would teach us the things that you would have us to know today, Lord. God, I ask that you would save those that are not saved. Lord, because there is no true power unless we have power from Jesus Christ who gives us access to God. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to speak to the issue of on sin and prayer and praising God. And I want to look at James 5, starting in verse 13, but I kind of want to go back to verse 12, and you know, the last times we were talking about the fact that these people had been treated unjustly, the people had been under persecution, that the laborers had been cheated out of their wages and the rich kept getting richer. Amen. And I see that a lot today in America. And I said before that we are all rich if we live in America because we have way more than anybody has in the rest of the world. And then what was God's response? He told them through James to be patient, brethren, because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And we need to remember who's in control in these days and these times. It is God who's above everything, that's mightier than anybody. And that God is the one that he is righteous and he has the vengeance. And so he told them to be patient. And then he said, lastly, in verse 12, he told them, do not swear by either heaven or earth with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. And then he kind of takes a different line here, but in another way, I think it kind of comes from verse 12 also, because he talks about let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. And then he starts talking about, is anybody suffering? And he's still talking about these people that are suffering persecution and are suffering hard times from people that are oppressing them and holding them down. But then he also says, let him pray. And that's what we need to do when things are tough, when things are bad. We need to remember that God's above everything. And God's the one we need to turn to in times of trouble. This week we need to turn to God. We didn't need to turn to our own strength. Our own, I think I can do it, our pride. But we need to turn to God and say, through the strength of God, we can handle these things. And we need to pray for those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because there's going to be a lot of angry people. I've already seen it. There's anger. There's going to be reprisal. There's going to be reaching out and hitting people that don't deserve it. And there's going to be hitting those people. Because they're of that nation. They're Arabic or whatever. But we need to remember that we need to pray to God, and the God who's just will help us do the right thing. And then he says, is anyone cheerful? Somebody's cheerful. You can be cheerful in spite of circumstances. What should we do? We should praise God. We should sing songs and praise God. You know, because God's in control of everything. And then one day, he has purposes for things. And he knows what's going on. But what should we pray? We need to pray for the removal of suffering, if it's God's will. We need to pray for that. It says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me, for the strength to endure the suffering. But God didn't remove that suffering. We need to pray for the strength to endure it, if that's God's will that we continue suffering. And he says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken man such as is common to man that God will not allow you with the temptation to be able to endure it and to give you a way out. God will give us a way out if we'll look to Him instead of looking to ourselves and depend on Him. And so He'll give us a way of escape. But you know, God always allows suffering for an ultimate good. And we don't like to hear that. Romans 8:28, all things work together for them that love God. Notice the words, for them that love God, all things. The good things, the bad things, the things we don't like to think about, they all work together. And God allows some of those things in our life sometimes to get us to the place we need to be. Sometimes He allows us to get into places so He can bring us to Him. He has to get us to the bottom of ourselves before we come to God. And so He allows these things for our good. Listen at what was said in Psalms 119, 67 and 75. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. So God sometimes afflicts us to bring us back. He doesn't want to lose us. He doesn't desire that anybody should perish and go to hell. He wants to bring us all to Him. And if He has to put us through some great suffering sometimes to bring us to Him so we don't have anywhere else to go but to Him, then that's what He'll do. But He says, but at least He promises us to help us endure it if we know Him as Lord and Savior. But we need to pray for those that don't know Jesus Christ. So who should we pray for? We need to pray for those that despitefully use us. What He says in Luke 6:28, bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use us. And so we need to sing praise to God. We can praise God in spite of everything that's happened this week. So we need to be singing praises to God for what He has given us instead of whining and crying about what we don't have and what's happened. If we know Jesus Christ, we need to be different. And if we don't know Jesus Christ, we need to think about getting right with Him so we can be different and so we can praise God in spite of our circumstances. So we need to pray for those. And so we can be cheerful. What did David do? In Psalm 92:1-2, he said, it's good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. Shouldn't we be that way? David was singing and praising God. You know, he was a man. He wasn't perfect. He fell. He did things that were wrong. But he was always wanting to do the right thing. And he was always looking to God and hoping that God would keep him straight. He says in Ephesians 5:18-19, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. We can make melody in our heart, and we can sing to God if we know Jesus Christ in spite of everything that's going on around us. He says, why don't we praise God more often? Why don't we sing to God more often as Christians? Why don't we? I mean, we have the opportunity. He's given us so much. And hadn't God done enough in our lives to prompt us to sing praises to Him and to give Him all the glory, honor, and praise? I think of the old commercial used to be on BBN. He says that God's not concerned with how it sounds, but it's coming from the heart, singing to Him with all our heart. You know, love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that means praising Him from our heart. Why, as Christians, don't we praise Him from our heart? We should do that because God's not concerned how we sound. You know, there was that old BBN commercial, and they had the guy singing way off key. And the guy up front was mumbling and grumbling about the person behind him, the way they were singing. Then they said, but this is how it sounds to God. And they played this beautiful sounding voice. And they said, if it's coming from the heart, it sounds beautiful to God. We need to remember that. No matter how we sing, no matter how bad we think we sound, if we're singing it from our heart and we're praising God with the right spirit, then He understands where we're coming from and it all sounds beautiful to Him because it's praise and worship to Him. And we need to remember that. You know, and it says that heaven is a place that's described in the book of Revelation. It's a place where we continually sing and praise and worship God because of the things that God has done for us and the things that He continues to do for us. I think that singing praise to God is just as important in some ways as praying to God. I mean, in a way, praise is kind of a prayer to God. You know, sometimes some of the songs we sing are kind of prayers to God. They may not be the same kind of prayers that we pray all the time, but we can pray to Him in song. And so God hears our songs and He listens to us. And He says, I love that because it's from your heart. And then what does He say here in verse 14? Now this is where this passage gets tough. And He said all this, that don't fall into judgment. Is anybody suffering? Is anybody cheerful? Is anybody sick? And He gets into one of the most controversial passages I think there is in the Bible. And He says here, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now this is a controversial passage because many people have taken this passage and they do a lot of different things with this passage. And you know, I really struggled and prayed over this thing, and I said, Lord, you know, there's so many opinions on this passage, and there's so many people say one thing, even with some of the people I respect as Christian brothers, some of them differ slightly. But you know, I laid there yesterday, and as I was praying and reading through this passage and kept looking at it and laying there and praying, and I said, God, I really want to understand this passage. And I believe God gave me the right interpretation of this, and it's basically what I believed all along, but I just wanted to make sure that as I taught it, that I wasn't teaching something that I believe because somebody had taught me, I had grown up that way. Because so many times we're taught things as kids, as we grow up in the church, we've taught things that maybe are not true, but we're taught them. And we need to sometimes go back to our Bible and look and see what the Bible says. And that's what I wanted to make sure I was doing today as I taught this passage. I wanted to make sure that what I taught was biblical, that it was what God had to say about this and not what Marty thought, because Marty's opinion don't count for nothing. But it's what God says and what His Word says. And if I come in here and teach this wrong, then it doesn't do y'all a bit of good for me to come in here and tell you something that is Marty's opinion. Because I may as well just shut the book and tell you what's on my mind and tell you what I got to say. Like I said, this passage is difficult. Let me read a couple of examples here. Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw his faith, He said to the paralytic, Son, your sins are forgiven you. John 5:14. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Then John 9:2. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. 1 Corinthians 11:29 and 30. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Now that's referring to the Lord's Supper and people coming and eating the Lord's Supper in a manner that's unworthy to God. It's talking about Christians taking the Lord's Supper with sin in their heart and not doing it properly. And he says because of that, some are weak, some are sick, and many sleep. That means they died because they did this with sin. Now we need to remember This passage is talking about people being sick. And he says for us to call the elders of the church. Now, many times today I've seen people walking around anointing with oil, and they're saying they're healing people and all these things. I have to tell you today that it's God that does the healing first of all. You know, so there's a couple of possible answers. Now, y'all, you know, close your mind to what I'm going to say today. Y'all listen to everything I got to say today before you make up your mind. And you see if you think what I'm saying is right. And if not, you go back and you study this passage and you pray about it and ask God to reveal to you what you think He says to you about this passage. And pray sincerely, because that's what I did. So there's two possible answers. One, that the elders were called, that this was a miraculous healing, and that the elders were called because they possessed the gift of healing. It says in Mark 6:13, it's talking about the apostles, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. We know that in the times of the apostles that there were gifts of healing. Now, if you look through the Bible, you'll see many different times where you see different gifts. And I believe at specific times that some of these gifts lasted for a period of time. Now, I'm not going to put God in a bottle and say that God doesn't do miraculous healings, but some of the people I've heard, they act like they can walk in and empty out the hospital. And my question to them is, why don't you go do it? And I want to go with them and I want to see it. So that's my first question. Maybe these people, God is using to heal people, but it's nothing to them. It's God that's using them. And so some people are healed miraculously, and I still believe that goes on today. But more often than not, God uses providential means, which means that God works through natural means. He uses medicine. He uses doctors. He uses prayer. And He uses those things to heal people. It says in Luke 10:34, here's an example of it. So they went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to the inn, and they took care of him. Now that was the Good Samaritan, you know, and what did he do? He took him and somebody took care of him, and he says, when I come back, I'll give you some more money if he's for whatever else you need. And so he used means to heal him. And back during that day, they didn't have a lot of medicine like we have today. They didn't have doctors and hospitals and places like that. And back in those days, a lot of times the anointing of the oil did speak of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that does the healing. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that does it. And the oil was used many times in the tabernacle. It was put on people, and sometimes oil had medicinal qualities. Not always is the oil beneficial in that way. We need to remember, as we look at this passage, he says we need to take him to the elders of the church, and they'll pray over him, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so we need to listen to this whole passage. You know, I'm kind of wondering, verse 12 there, he says, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. And if you read this whole passage here, he starts off talking about suffering, praying, and then he talks about being cheerful, and then he goes back into being sick. And if you look at the rest of the passage, as I've looked at it, it seems to me to be saying that there's sin. That there's sin here. So I want to approach it that way, that God was working through natural means here. That God was providentially healing this person through the Holy Spirit. With this understanding, let's make the application. What do we do when we're sick? First of all, we call for the elders of the church. You know, we want the prayers of the righteous working for us, don't we? And then it says, we're to call for them. They're not to come to us, but we're to call for them. And we're to have the elders pray with us. And so he says, what does he say? In the prayer of faith, they pray in faith, right? Trusting the Lord to heal if it's his will. Now, we've heard many times where people have prayed and one person that was on the deathbed and they said there was no hope, that person lived. Now, we've seen other people that they were on their deathbed and they prayed for them and there was no difference. The same people were praying for them. The same church was praying for them, but this person died. Now, what's the difference? The difference is it was the Lord's will. Sometimes it's the Lord's will that some people die, and sometimes it's the Lord's will that some people live. And we need to pray remembering that God is sovereign, and that yes, sometimes he takes us home, and sometimes he takes some of us home early because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. I heard a man say that God's man in the center of God's will is invincible until God's through with him. And so we need to remember to be in the center of God's will, and he'll use us. In a time where hospitals were almost non-existent and physicians were rare, anointing with oil was one of those things that was done as a common treatment. We need to remember, he says here, listen at this. I want to read one of these illustrations here. These people say this so much better than I do. This is J.I. Packer. He says, to be told that long for healing was denied you because of some defect in your faith when you had labored and strained every way you knew to devote yourself to God and to believe for blessing is to be pitchforked into despair, distress, and a sense of abandonment by God. That is as better a feeling, a bitter a feeling, as any this side of hell, particularly if, like most individuals, your sensitivity is already up and your spirit's down. You know, many times people go to faith healers. They go to people and they pray and they say, well, your faith wasn't strong enough. But that's not whose faith we're dependent on. We're dependent on God's faith. The faith that we go through God. It's our faith in him, but yes, he's the means that heals us. And so we need to remember that. He talks about the sick confessing their sins. Let me read one more thing here. J. Adams says, the New Testament teaches that sickness may stem from sin, and James therefore urged the need for confrontation by the elders of the church. Pastors ought always to be aware of their obligation in this matter when visiting the sick. It would seem that as a regular practice, pastors should inquire into the possibility of sin as the root of the sickness. The need to distinguish between sin-engendered sickness and disease-engendered sickness has been emphasized so strongly in our time that modern conservative pastors rarely raise the issue with the sick. Of course, it also takes courage to do so. One wonders how many illnesses, or at least complications of the illnesses, might have been cured by careful attention to and an application of James' word. Counselors must learn to take James seriously. So we need to remember that sometimes when we get sick, it's because of sin. We need to remember that. God may be trying to lead us back to him. He may be chastising us. He may be trying to bring us back to him. Verse 15 makes it clear that sickness is not always the consequence of sin, but sometimes it is. And sometimes, what did we read that verse a minute ago? Some are sick, some are weak, and some die because of sin. Verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So we need to remember that sin is a lot of times causes sickness. And so we need to remember that. Illnesses may be God trying to direct us back to him. Let me read one more thing here. And I know I'm reading a lot of things here, but this man, Dick Mayhew, summarizes the meaning of this text. He says, the point of this passage then is this. A believer has wandered off into sin, remained in sin, and God has chastised him by bringing sickness into his life to bring him back to himself. When the believer recognizes that God has brought a very untimely and severe illness to incapacitate him, he is to call for the elders of the church. The elders are to come, he is to confess his sin, and they are to anoint him with oil and pray over him. If the sin is the cause of sickness, then God will raise him up. If sin is cared for through confession, there will be no further need for chastisement. God takes away the chastisement, and the believer is restored to physical health. As I look through this passage, what does it say here? First of all, he's talking about, is anybody sick, right? And he says the prayer of faith will raise him up. And if anyone has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then what is the next thing he says? He says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So he's talking about healing still. And then he says, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like others, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Now think with me through this passage. What have the last few verses have in common? First he says, you know, being sick, and if he's committed sins, you'll be raised up. They'll be forgiven. And in verse 16 he says, confess your trespasses one to another, that you may be healed. Then he starts talking about the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, tell me, why did Elijah pray? Elijah prayed because of sin. And that's why he shut heavens, right? Did he not shut the heavens because of sin? He shut the heavens because of the sin of a man. And when he prayed 3.5 years later, he opened them back up because the man had repented of them, at least at that time. And so we need to look at this whole passage as one of saying that if you're sick, examine yourself, because it may be because of sin. Have you confessed all your sins? Do you know that you're right before the Lord? And so we need to do that. We need to pray fervently with all our might. Confess our sins. Pray in faith. And so we need not to underestimate the importance of praise, the power of prayer, and the importance of purity and confession of sins for forgiveness, because we may get down. We may be sick because of that. Now, I'm talking to believers here, because God will chastise you if you're a believer. Now, if you're a believer, you don't belong to him anyway, and so he has no reason to chastise you because you don't belong to him. So he's going to let you go. If you want to live the way you're living, he's going to let you live that way. He'd like to bring you that way. He may do some things to bring you back to him. But if you keep ignoring him and turn from him, after a while he just turns you loose on yourself and he lets you self-destruct. So we need to truly benefit from these words. We need to be in a right relationship with God. We need to be open to God's word. It says in Proverbs 28:9, he that turns his ear away from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. And we need to be a doer of the word. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It's Matthew 7:21.
Hi, I'm Marty McKenzie with His Love Ministries. Please help us reach out to those the world has forgotten. Everyone we minister to is locked up in some way, shape, or form. Some are locked up in bodies that don't work and in the nursing home facility, in the wheelchair, the bed they cannot get out of. We minister to children and youth who are locked up because of behavioral problems or their parents. They aren't doing right and their cries, we want to have a real family. Other kids are locked up because they've committed crimes. We also minister to those locked up in the jail and the prison, to those locked up in addictions to drugs, alcohol, depression, and suicidal thoughts, and a variety of other things that keep them from becoming who Jesus wants them to be. He came to give us life and to set us free, and these folks are not free, but we can set them free through Christ Jesus, at least in their minds and their spirits. We minister in the local area of Savannah, Georgia, and surrounding Effingham and Chatham. We do about 2,000 services every year. We hope and pray that you'll support us in some way so we can continue our mission. Go to hisloveministries.net and click on the Donate Now button, and we hope and pray that you will do that. Thank you, and God bless you.